And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I'm in this section. I'm calling it Pros at Life. You know what? The topic of this case that came out today was not even the bulk of what I had here to talk about, because I want to talk about what's amazing to me is the politics of abortion. The politics of abortion. That's a big part of it. But let me wrap up, though, this next couple of minutes here just on that case that came out today. So the case, if you're not familiar with it, originated out of Mobile, and it was called LePage v. Mobile Infirmary. And so the LePage case centered on a family was trying to do in vitro fertilization. Basically, you know, they, for whatever reason, there was a problem with the ability to naturally conceive. And so they were doing IV or IVF in vitro fertilization through an IVF clinic. And what happens quite often in those situations, as I understand it, is because not every embryo takes, so to speak, they'll implant several embryos. And so that means they have to create several in the petri dish before they implant them. And in this particular case, and now what happens in more than one instance here, in some cases, at the conclusion of the efforts for IVF, if there are embryos left, believe it or not, some of them become assigned by some state laws allowing them to be used for stem cell research. Mm. That's why some people were asking for a religious accommodation when it came to the pandemic COVID vaccines, because there was some deep concern, and I believe it was rightfully so, that there may have been stem cell research involved or stem cell applications involved in the creation of the vaccines. All right, so these embryos are in a petri dish, in a freezer, and some of them, though, some states allow them to be just disposed of, like, okay, we don't need those anymore. Flush them. And then others, though, can be accidentally destroyed, which is the case of what happened in LePage v. Mobile Infirmary. And in this case, the family was dismayed to find that their embryos were destroyed, and it was through the negligence of an employee. Now, what we're hearing is it was dropped on the floor. Okay, that sounds like an accident. I mean, you look at it and go, can you sue somebody for that kind of accident? Well, a death was involved. No, there's no death involved. It was just an embryo in a petri dish. No, it was a death. Well, you're going to have to take that to court because we don't agree. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court of Alabama. And they ruled, as of today, after years of fighting this case, that, oh, yeah, the same as you could sue for killing somebody in a car accident or sue for somebody falling off a ladder or having an accident at work or having something occur in some type of a setting where someone else's negligence may have contributed to the death of the person. A wrongful death claim can also be claimed as to the loss of the embryos. And that's what happened in LePage v. Mobile. Y'all, this is a landmark case. This means that a lawsuit can now be filed because of something that occurred in the womb, or at the very least, after the moment of conception, which can even include a petri dish. Alabama law, y'all. It's our state, and we will guide what life means in the state of Alabama, and we are a pro-life state. More on this and the politics of abortion. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I tell you who else covers a lot of ground, and I say it that way all the time because it's true. Is our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a whole bunch of ground across North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around and about the Birmingham area. Newest one is in Helena. And they are open 7 days a week at all their locations, and they will see all ages, oh, by the way. It's pretty amazing, really, what they can do. And by the way, this is who I use personally. And no, I do not use them because they advertise. I asked them to advertise because I had been using them, and I knew I could brag on their services. I mean, every time I've walked in the front door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's been like clean, professional, taking care of me, friendly. I mean, all of it is everything you would want to have in a doctor's visit, right? And if you get sick on a Saturday morning, do you wait till Monday? Nope. You can go to Southern Immediate Care. Just find the location nearest to you and head on down there. They will take care of you. And oh, by the way, when you're doing it, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that too. So I've spent a lot of time today covering, I mean, a wide variety of topics. And in a minute after the last break of the day, we're gonna just switch gears and we're gonna have an audio clip that I think is gonna end us on the right note. Totally unrelated. Just saw it this morning. I thought, you know what? By golly, it is absolutely necessary to every once in a while just end on a good note. And I look at that and think, ain't no reason to talk politics all the time, right? Ain't no reason to just talk about, you know, cultural issues. Sometimes you got to remind yourself there's good people out there. We'll talk about that, and I've got an audio clip to go with it at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. Right now, let me finish this section on abortion. Democrats are absolutely of the mind that the way they win is by talking about abortion. You want to kill babies, you should have a right to kill your baby. Nobody should take away your right to kill your baby. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court says you don't necessarily have a right to kill a baby. A right is a constitutional issue. A right is a legal term. Don't talk to me about, I have a right to abort my baby. It's my body. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court decided in the Dobbs decision that the states determine within the parameters of their own law and within the boundaries of their own states and in the sovereign right to determine what is necessary for their own citizens. The states have the right to determine what is and is not considered legal when it comes to abortion. And so now you're going to have a mixed bag. And by the way, don't come to me with that crying mantra of, well, I'm not going to be able to get the abortion that I need. Well, just drive across a state line. You know, is that hard? It just, you can't just, well, what if I'm poor and I can't get there? Really? That's where you're going with this? Don't come with your weak, fallacious arguments. If you're going to live a salacious life, don't have a fallacious activity or a fallacious argument attached to it. But then, I hear, and I am not uncompassionate as to the arguments about rape and incest. I'm not blowing those off, not at all. The problem that we have, though, is at some point you have to look at it and go, but does the law say that is a life? And Alabama just firmly said today that not only do we have some decisions in the past that lead to it, but now we're saying, oh yeah, it's not only a life, but you can sue for wrongful death in the loss of that life way, way, way before it ever becomes, you know, a born child. But Democrats are absolutely determined that this is the thing. Here's my thing. I think that we as Republicans need to grab this messaging. And I don't mean we need to go out there and just go, we're for stopping abortion. How about this? How about let's be pro-life? If we're going to say we're pro-life, is that confined to the womb? That's where I think we've been losing the message. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that we have lost the messaging in that regard. They are trying to paint us as some kind of religious zealots for daring to say we support the idea of life beginning at the moment of conception, which I believe is the case. I'm of the mind that we need to go a step or three further. How about this? We are pros at life, not just pro-life. We are pros at life. We are professionals at making sure that life is honored. And it might mean that we are going to enact laws that prevent abortion, and it might mean that we're going to enact laws that allow for wrongful death to be pursued in the event of an unborn child. But then how about this? We are also going to pass laws that support the mother who carries her child to term. And we are going to pass laws that provide the ability to give them care and to give them, you know, tax incentives for taking care of their child. And oh, by the way, how about this? How about adoption? We're going to pass laws that encourage the ability for people to adopt, and we're going to make it reasonable for them to adopt. And how about this? We are going to incentivize attorneys, literally, incentivize attorneys to do pro bono work for people who want to go through the process of adoption because it's expensive. And how about this? We're going to provide grants for people to actually go through adoption agencies. Oh, and how about this? We're gonna make sure that we have the ability then to take care of kids in the foster care system, and not let that system become, you know, the and I don't want to, no pun intended, the stepchild of our systems. We have got to make sure that we are pros at life, not just pro-life in the womb, but pros at life in general. And if there is a child conceived or a child being carried or a child that is born or a child that is educated or a child that unfortunately is lost, we're going to have laws in the state of Alabama that say we are pros at life and we want it all to swirl together and announce that to the world. That's the message right there, in my opinion. Democrats now, on the other side, they look at the politics of abortion by itself, screaming about the inability to then have what we need. We need to be able to kill our babies, and you're criminalizing it. Listen, you can try that if you want to. I mean, I'm looking right now at a story on NBC News, came out last week. At a Democratic retreat, House members worried that the border is somehow overshadowing their abortion politics in 2024. Really? That's what you got? We have millions of illegal migrants storming across the border, flooding our systems, causing, you know, criminal activity to spike, you know, draining our resources and providing burdens to society and sleeping on the streets. And by the way, it's not just what it's doing to American society. It's also what's happening with the migrants themselves, many of whom are dying in the process or being trafficked or being raped. And yet Democrats at a recent House retreat, according to NBC News, say that they're concerned that the border security can somehow overshadow their claims about reproductive rights being a key campaign issue for 2024. I got news. Most of America sees through this now. They recognize that when the Dobbs decision happened, the world didn't come to an end. And they know that if the state of Alabama wants to enact laws that say we're going to be pro-life, that the state of, you know, Illinois can do just the opposite. And that this is a highly mobile society, and if you can't get an abortion in Alabama, you can be an abortion tourist and go to Illinois. It's not hard. Gretchen Whitmer, story here on CBS News, she came out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and said that she really believes it'd be a good idea if Biden would please be more vocal on abortion. No kidding. That's what her idea of a good campaign would be. Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer urged President Biden to personally speak out about the abortion issue more in an interview with Face the Nation on Saturday, suggesting that more blunt language from him would be very helpful. Brennan noted that Mr. Biden has previously expressed his reservations because of his own Catholic faith. Does he really need to talk about it more? She goes, I think it would be good if he did. And she went on to talk about basically the politics of abortion. That's what they see. They don't see life. See, the difference here in our position is that we see life, and then we see the question of life. They see politics, and they see the politics of abortion. Well, TheHill.com published a piece that is pretty racy. I say racy not in the, like, salacious sexual sense. I'd say it's racy like, wow, they're out there on the edge. When it comes to abortion rights, you should be scared, TheHill.com, a piece written yesterday by someone named Jessica Macker, says abortion is coming front and center this election. The anti-abortion movement is doing all it can to downplay the horrors of abortion bans and mischaracterize what the Republican Party has done and will do to restrict abortion. This is it. This is what they got. They can't win on the border. They can't win on the economy. They can't win on energy. They can't win on national security. They can't win on pretty much anything So they're going to make you feel like that somehow or another, whether or not you can get an abortion in the state you're living in is the only thing that matters. Ask yourself when they do. Even if you as a listener right now are either soft on the idea of abortion or you're pro-abortion, ask yourself, is it really a winning argument to say abortion is how we're going to win the presidency? Is it a winning argument to say to people who have enough common sense to look at the news that, hey, they're told you can't have an abortion. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I could get one in Georgia. No, they told you couldn't get an abortion, they said. Well, I thought the state that said the states could do it. And some states do and some states don't. And some states allow some abortions, but not all. And some states will let you go all the way up to, like, you know, near term, like you're about to have the baby. Now we're going to abort it instead. Some will say after 15 weeks. Some will say when you can hear a heartbeat. Some state laws will say after the second trimester, no. Some will say, basically, do you want to have the child or don't you on the day of you're going into your water broke? Do you want an abortion? Some states will do that. So what we're saying is if you want an abortion, apparently you can get one. Maybe not in Alabama, but you can get one. Is that really what you want to win the presidency on? Do you want to be known as the party that said, yeah, we campaigned hard, man. We knocked on doors and we told people, if you want an abortion, you better vote Democrat. Is that the winning argument you want? So the bottom line is this. I believe that we need to recapture the messaging on this as Republicans. American Magazine or AmericaMagazine.org is a website that I went to, and I found a story that came out in June of last year. And I'll end with this. It says, Adoption, Foster Care, and Celebrating of Birth Mothers, the Pro-Life Movement's Post-Roe Causes. That's exactly right. It talks about the fact that we have got to capture the messaging and make sure that we are pros at life. That's my phrase, but that's what they're saying in the article. Pros at life, educating people, taking care of people, caring for mothers, promoting adoption as an option, making adoption easier as an option, promoting foster care when necessary and making sure it's a great system and not just a halfway system. At the same time, not criminalizing a mother, but encouraging a mother, and then taking care of her if she decides to carry that child to term, and celebrating with her when she does. That's who we need to be, pros at life. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come right back, and then I'm going to end the day on, like, this cool story about people just taking care of each other, like looking out for each other, like, how cool is this? That and a few text messages. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I got several text messages, and then, like I said, I'm going to just end the – I decided I was going to end the week on one of those kind of warm, fuzzy moments that you just need to know is out there. Several text messages, though. Let me jump back in the line here because I got a bunch of y'all that have been texting today, and several new ones, too, by the way. Louie from Arab says, my biggest regret as an adult that I did not serve my country. I gave a 38-year-old son – I have a 38-year-old vet. Anyway, so I have a 20-year-old in the U.S. Air Force right now and a 14-year-old who is planning on serving. Still my biggest regret. Don't regret, Louie. I got news. You are serving vicariously through them. You raise the kind that want to serve. And so thank you for that, man. And we appreciate you. Brand spanking new in the text lines is James from Tanner. He says, I have a third cousin. I'm a third cousin to Jake, and I got to meet him several times before he passed away. Is that right? No kidding. Check Jake Lindsay, the Medal of Honor winner. Thank you, James, for letting me know, and I appreciate that. And thanks for the service of your cousin. Bob from Madison said, I worked on Kwajalein in the Wake Islands for many years. I've had several flights between Hawaii and the islands with the guys going to look and discover bodies from World War II. Wow. Several times I watched them come in to recover body parts, and many times they were Orientals and not Americans. 4,000 Japanese died on the Kwajalein Atoll. Mostly Roy Namur, and 247 Americans, mostly Marines. And on Wake, they executed 96 American civilian contractors. I am well aware of the recovery teams from Hawaii. Man, Bob, that's firsthand cool information. Thank you for sharing. A question from Flip from Decatur. Regarding the abortion question a minute ago and that ruling that came out today, can the father of the baby mother, sue if the mother has an abortion? And I think, by the way, at this point, Flip, the question may well be yes. If it is wrongful death could potentially be there. John from Harvest says, Phil, as you know, the abortion discussion causes a lot of strong emotions. So when I'm talking with someone and the topic comes up, instead of trying just to refute the pro-choice arguments with reason and biology, I'll simply and calmly focus the other person directly involved by saying things like, why can't we just love both people involved, i.e. the mom and the baby? That's a great point, man. Good job. Sandy from Meltmont says, I read an article one time about when the egg of a woman and the sperm join together, there's a flash of light, which reminded me of hearing people talking about going towards the light when you die. Wow. Interesting, Sandy. Darlene from Gadsden just says, abortion stops a beating heart. Yes, ma'am, it does. Brand new in the text lines are Tammy from Oneonta. Says, I'm glad you read that about supporting and encouraging the birth mothers. Thank you, Tammy. And then last one, before I go to this special clip that I've got, John from Huntsville says, Phil and Big Rig are today's co-winners with an A++ for being absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, brother. Congratulations and well done. Also want to say that despite your nephew being an Alabama fan, he's doing an amazing job at WVNN. And you and Dale and Yaffe better watch out because pretty soon your nephew might end up being a bigger radio star than all three of you. I'm for it, man. I'm for it. Hey, listen, I want to take a second here and do something. I saw this morning.
Watch out because pretty soon.
Don't play it. Yeah, thank you, bro. It just jumped right in.
It did.
But I saw this morning on social media. Big Rig, you go ahead and get the clip ready, because here's the deal. There are good people out there. There are still good people doing good things. And I saw this story about this community rallying around, and this guy is an Asian immigrant who runs a donut shop. And the people there realized he was struggling to run his own business and take care of his wife, who had a brain aneurysm. And so they stepped up, and they started basically giving him the ability to do both. And so I'm going to play the story. It was a local news story, and just let it speak for itself, and then I'll come back and wrap up the day. Go ahead, man.
It's 5 a.m., but the line is already out the door at Donut City.
I like these as well.
Customers are buying as many donuts as they can, dozens at a time.
I got 8 dozen donut holes.
The donuts are delicious, but that doesn't entirely explain their popularity.
How's your wife doing?
Getting better.
Good, right?
Yeah.
You see, these folks are buying all the donuts because they want the owner to close up shop early so he can go home and take care of his ailing wife who's recovering from a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, I bought 3 dozen. Yeah, I came in the other day and bought 300.
My order was $36, and I just gave him a $50 bill. I
Anything to help? By 7 this morning, the entire stock was sold. Not a single donut remained. And this hard-working immigrant from Cambodia will soon be headed home to be with his wife. It's 5 a.m.
That's just cool. And basically, that's also who we are. I mean, you know, it's amazing. That's a group of people. That's a whole town. They're showing up at 5 in the morning. They're buying out his entire day's stock of donuts so he can go home and take care of his wife. That's just, anyway, I leave you with that. And I leave you with this. There are still good people out there. God is still on his throne. This is still America. And duty and honor and country mean something. And we're going to be back here Monday at 2. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend.